Peace be upon you, YouTube. This is Said Mirza from WillyNotReason.com. Today is March 19th, 2022. And I'm going to be changing the format of my presentation going forward. My presentations are going to be audio only. And the reason behind that is that sooner or later, my channel will get canceled, deleted, banned, censored, whatever you want to call it, on YouTube. So in order to prepare for that eventuality, I figured it was time for me to start making audio presentations, or as they're called, podcasts, and putting them on my website. Obviously, this will be available on YouTube as long as they allow me to, in all their graciousness, allow me to upload. But when the time comes to cut the cord, if you will, then you can get the updates on my website, WillyNotReason.com. And also, I'm of a belief that the truth is in no need of being dressed up. It is falsehood that needs to be dressed up, in Quranic parlance, in zukhruf, which is adornment. So that's the whole point of you seeing, you know, the newscasters all dolled up, and you know, a lot of emphasis is put into graphics and presentation in those channels that spout false ideas and nonsense, because people are impressed by finery and adornment. But the Quran's message is clear, and as we follow the Quran alone, we don't need to rely on those subterfuges and sorceries. We can just present the truth as is, a plain truth, and those who have eyes to see and ears to hear and hearts to understand will understand the truth, and they will be able to differentiate between the truth and falsehood, God willing. So in this presentation, we're going to be looking at the word zakat in the Quran, which is usually translated as charity and even purity sometimes. But I think the meaning of the word zakat is kind of ambiguous. And this presentation hopefully will shed some light into what the Quran means by the word zakat. Now, if you haven't watched my previous presentation, Do Your Duty, the types of salat in the Quran, I highly encourage you to watch that first, so you have kind of an idea where I'm coming from. As you know, if you've been following Brother Garen's work, or you've downloaded his book, PDF, which is available for free from Quranite.com, then you know that he has uncovered the true meaning of the word salat, which simply means duty. Now, obviously, the worship of God is a salat. It is one of the types of salat in the Quran, but that's not the all and be all. And the religion of Islam would have us convinced that as long as you are mechanically prostrating and bowing in a ritual prayer, which they call salat, then you're home free. But unfortunately, things don't work that way. The Quran's emphasis is on inner purity, about being sincere and actually understanding the spirit of you know, worship of God. And that's really what's lacking in the presentation of the ordinary Muslims. So this chapter 12, Zakat, is in my book, Will You Not Reason, which you can download for free from willyounreason.com. I will also be embedding this talk into the article, which will be available on the website. And really, the goal is for you to read the book. And from reading the book, then you can move on to Brother Garen's work, which obviously requires a lot more diligence and sincerity and attention. So this is kind of an on-ramp onto that. But regardless, I think that this talk will be beneficial for those of you who are just joining in and questioning sort of the rituals and the philosophy, if you will, of the traditional Muslim. Now, Muslims claim that zakat, which is a word that is often used together with salat in the Quran, is a religious charitable donation to help the needy. And not surprisingly, the Quran's usage of this term is at odds with how Muslims understand zakat. So to begin our investigation, we're going to look at this passage in the Quran, which I think will kind of get you thinking in the right direction. And the passage is, this is from Brother Garen's translation, the Quran, A Complete Revelation. is then he who knows that what is sent down to thee from thy Lord is the truth like him who is blind? There take heed but those of insight, those who fulfill the covenant of God and break not the agreement, and who join what God commanded to be joined, and fear their Lord, and dread the evil of the reckoning, and who are patient, seeking the face of their Lord, and uphold the duty, and spend of what we have provided them, secretly and openly. And they avert evil with good, those have the good final abode. Chapter 13, verses 19 through 22. Now, the verses that I just presented to you describe those who fulfill God's covenant as those who join what God commanded to be joined. And we find an inverse statement regarding those who break God's covenant as those who sever what God has commanded to be joined. And this statement is found in chapter 13, verse 25. But those who break the covenant of God after its agreement and sever what God has commanded to be joined and work corruption in the land, those have the curse and they have the evil abode. So you can see the contrast here. Before it was that those who join what God commanded to be joined and fear their Lord and dread the evil of the reckoning, and who are patient seeking the face of their Lord and uphold the duty and spend of what God provides them secretly and openly, those have the final good final abode. And whereas the people who are cursed, who break the covenant of God after its agreement and sever what God has commanded to be joined, they have the evil abode. Now, the Quran uses the phrase uphold the salat and give the zakat a total of 24 times, in which the two terms salat and zakat are joined together, they're linked. And it is my view that those who fulfill God's covenant, his agreement, maintain the connection between salat and zakat, whereas those who break God's covenant sever this connection. Since we have already established that salat means the duty to implement a specific contextual command, we will now study the surrounding context where the phrase uphold the salat and give the zakat occurs to see if we can derive a contextual value of zakat. Now, Brother Gans translates this phrase as uphold the duty and to render the purity. This is the Arabic, waqimus salat wa atu zakat. And as we go through each occurrence of this phrase, we shall see that it means to implement a specific commandment and to be sincere in its application. That is, those who wish to fulfill God's covenant must be pure in intention when upholding the duty. So the first instance is reciting the writ. The first occurrence of the phrase uphold the salat and give the zakat is in reference to the original recipients of the writ or the book, the children of Israel. And when we go through this passage, you will see that upholding the duty means recitation of the writ and bringing forth the purity, atu zakat, or rendering the purity, means to be sincere in the recitation, the reading of the writ, and obviously in understanding it. Because here's the problem. See, Muslims, for the most part, even if they claim that they're upholding Salat by, you know, doing the ritual prayer, and, you know, I don't have a problem with that. But the problem is that really this is a mindless ritual. And as a former Muslim, as someone who followed the religion of Islam, I can attest to that. And when I say former Muslim, I mean a capital M, as in, you know, following the religion of Islam. I am a Muslim because I submit to God, not because I follow a certain religion. But regardless, when I was growing up, I was taught how to do the Salat, which is called Namaz in Urdu, my language, my native language. And for the most part, it was kind of a sort of a, you know, a mindless repetition that you just, you know, did because you just learned it. It was automatic. And, you know, I performed this namaz for the better part of my life, and for me it was always just a mindless ritual. Sometimes I would remember God, but most of the time it was just something to get through, kind of get out of the way, so I could you know, get about my business, whatever that was, you know, enjoying life. So, you know, this is the mindset that Muslims have, and here, you know, upholding the duty and rendering the purity means to be sincere in upholding the duty. And so let's look at this one, right? Recite the writ. And this is chapter 2, verses 40 through 46. because we're trying to look at the context here. So that's why we kind of have to look at a, you know, sort of a, we're not just going to go through one verse and just say, okay, here it is. You know, I want to kind of show you that the Quran is, you know, it has to be read in context, and it has to be, you know, the verses before and after have to be considered for you to arrive at the right meaning. Again, it's sincerity of understanding, right? Okay, so to begin. O children of Israel, remember my favors wherewith I favored you, and fulfill the covenant with me, and I will fulfill the covenant with you, and me, be you in fear of me, and believe in what I have sent down, confirming what is with you, and be not the first to deny it. And sell not my proofs at a cheap price, and me, be you in prudent fear of me, and clothe not truth with vanity, nor conceal the truth when you know. And uphold the duty, and render the purity, and be lowly with the lowly. Enjoin your virtue upon mankind, and forget yourselves when you recite the writ. Will you then not use reason? And seek help in patience and duty, and it is hard, save for the humble, those who consider that they will meet their Lord, and that to him they are returning. Now, the duty in this context is to recite the writ. And God is reproving the children of Israel for hypocrisy by enjoining virtue upon mankind but forgetting themselves, that is, preaching what they are themselves not practicing. And God commands them to fear him alone and not to abandon his guidance in favor of worldly gain. Thus the children of Israel are not only to uphold the duty and recite the writ, but to also give the zakat by being pure in intention. The final occurrence of the phrase uphold the salat and give the zakat in the Quran confirms our understanding by referencing those given the writ, the book, before, that is the children of Israel and the Christians, and exhorting them to uphold the recitation of the writ and to be pure in intention, to be sincere. This is chapter 98, verses 1 through 8. Those who ignore warning among the doctors of the law and the idolaters were not to desist until the clear evidence came to them. A messenger from God reciting purified pages in which are upright writs, and those given the writ were divided only after the clear evidence had come to them, and they were commanded only to serve God, sincere to him in doctrine, inclining to truth, and to uphold the duty, and to render the purity, and that is the doctrine of the upright. Those who ignore warning among the doctors of the law and the idolaters will be in the fire of Gehenna, they abiding eternally therein. It is they who are the worst of creatures. Those who heed warning and do righteous deeds, it is they who are the best of creatures. Their reward is with their Lord, gardens of perpetual abode beneath which rivers flow, they abiding eternally therein forever. God is pleased with them, and they pleased with him. That is for him who fears his Lord. Now in the next verse, the believers are being exhorted to uphold the duty of reciting the writ and to be pure in their intention. Thy Lord knows that thou standest nearly two-thirds of the night, or a half of it, or a third of it, as does the number of those with thee, and God determines the night and the day. He knew that you would not calculate it, and has turned towards you. So recite what is made easy of the Quran. He knows that there will be some sick among you, and others traveling in the earth in search of the bounty of God, and others fighting in the cause of God. So recite what is made easy thereof, and uphold the duty, and render the purity, and lend to God a goodly loan, and what good you send ahead for your souls, you will find it with God, better and greater in reward, and ask forgiveness of God. God is forgiving and merciful. So this was the recitation of the writ, which is a duty that must be upheld by those who heed warning, Allazina Amanu, or the Mu'mineen, the believers, and they are to be sincere in upholding this duty. Now, let's look at another duty in the Quran that God is exhorting the believers to be sincere in. That is that the phrase, وَقِيمُ الصَّلَاةُ وَعَاتُ الزَّكَاةُ, uphold the duty and render the purity, is again, shown in this passage. Okay, uphold God's agreement. This is chapter 2, verses 83 through 86. And when we took an agreement of the children of Israel, serve not save God, and towards parents good conduct, and towards kin, and the fatherless, and the poor, and speak kindly to men, and uphold the duty and render the purity. Then you turned away, save a few among you, and you are averse. And when we took your agreement, shed not your blood, and turn not your own out of your homes, then you affirmed and bore witness. Then are you those who kill your own, and turn a faction among you out of their homes, assisting one another against them in sin and enmity. And if they come to you as captives, you ransom them, but unlawful for you was their expulsion. Do you believe in part of the writ and deny part? Then what is the reward of him among you who does that save disgrace in the life of this world? And on the day of resurrection, they are sent back to the harshest punishment. And God is not unmindful of what you do. Those are they who bought the life of this world at the price of the hereafter. So the punishment will not be lightened for them, nor will they be helped. Now I want to bring your attention to this phrase here again. See, and we took an agreement, O children of Israel. Okay. And again, it says, and when we took your agreement. And this harkens back to the initial agreement that I talked about, that those who fulfill the covenant of God and break not the agreement, okay, and join what God had commanded to be joined. And the inverse of that, which was found in chapter 13, verse 25, but those who break the covenant of God after its agreement and sever what God has commanded to be joined. So what they are doing, the children of Israel, they were severing what God had commanded to be joined. They were severing the connection between Salat and Zakat. So again, in this context, the duty is to uphold the agreement made with God. And God accuses the children of Israel of cherry picking the commandments of God. That is, do you believe in part of the writ and deny a part? That is, they were not being pure in their intention of upholding the agreement made with God. And by the way, Muslims are guilty of this as well, of believing part of the writ and denying part, because they believe that they say that the Quran is from God, and but they deny the part where God says that it's complete, and that in it is an explanation, the Quran is clear. So by insinuating that the Quran is in need of the hadith, they are denying that the Quran is complete, clear, and fully detailed. Okay, now here's another occurrence of this phrase, which again we see the repeat of the same theme of breaking the agreement of God and of changing the meanings of words by twisting them from their places, which is a classic example of being insincere in applying God's commandment. This is chapter 5, verses 12 and 13. And God took an agreement of the children of Israel, and we raised up among them 12 leaders. And God said, I am with you if you uphold the duty and render the purity and believe in my messengers and support them and lend to God a goodly loan. I will remove from you your evil deeds and make you enter gardens beneath which rivers flow. But whoso among you denies after that has strayed from the right path. So for their violation of their agreement, we cursed them and made their hearts hard. They twist words from their places and have forgotten a portion of that they were reminded of. And thou wilt not cease to find treachery among them, save a few among them. But pardon thou them and forbear thou. God loves the doers of good. So this is pretty self-explanatory. Let's move on to another salat which is of obeying the messenger of God. And how people were being insincere in observing this salat. This is chapter 2, verses 104 through 110. O you who heed warning, say not, attend thou to us, but say, look thou upon us, and listen. And for the false claimers of guidance is a painful punishment. Neither those who ignore warning among the doctors of the law, nor the idolaters wish that there be sent down upon you any good from your Lord. But God chooses for his mercy whom he wills, and God is possessor of tremendous bounty. What proof we abolish or cause to be forgotten, we bring one better than it, or the like thereof. Knowest thou not that God is over all things powerful? Knowest thou not that God, to him belongs the dominion of the heavens and the earth, and you have besides God neither ally nor helper? If you desire to ask your messenger as Moses was asked before, and whoso exchanges faith for denial has strayed from the right path, many among the doctors of the law wish to turn you back as atheists after your faith, out of envy from their souls, after the truth has become clear to them. But pardon and forbear until God brings his command. God is over all things powerful. and uphold the duty and render the purity and what good you send ahead for your souls. You will find it with God. God sees what you do. Now, in this instance, the doctors of the law, which are the priests of religions, and if you want more information on that, I suggest you look at Brother Gann's work. They wished to divert the believers from the path of God out of envy. And they were aware that the Quran was from God, but out of spite and to preserve their status, they denied it. And they approached Muhammad, the prophet of God, with arrogance and questioned him not with a view to learn, but to intimidate. In other words, they were insincere in obeying the messenger. The believers are being commanded to not follow the example, but to uphold the duty of obeying the messenger and to be pure in intention. That is, to come to the messenger of God with a sincere attitude to learn. Okay, next salat, which again is, being linked with the zakat, is desisting from usury interest. Now, whatever your viewpoint is about the Islamic finance, Islamic banking system, the fact of the matter is that it is still usury, and the people who are saying that it's halal because, it is sanctioned by the religious priests. At the end of the day, it's usury because the way it works is that you buy a car, and they say, okay, this car costs $20,000, and so how about this? You just give us $25,000 at the end of 2 years. This is obviously an increase in the value of the car, which is how interest works too. Interest is money that has to be paid for the loan of money. So there's no doubt about it. But anyway, what I'm trying to say is that they are not being sincere in upholding the duty to desist from usury. And they're coming up with all these tricks and magic, but at the end of the day, they are not upholding the salat and rendering the purity. And this is not anything new. Here we're going to read chapter 2, verses 275 through 278, that talks about desisting from usury. Those who consume usury will not stand, save as stands he whom thus Satan buffets with his touch. For it is that they say commerce is but the same as usury, when God has made commerce lawful and forbidden usury. And he to whom came the admonition from his Lord and desisted, he has what is past, and his case is with God. But whoso returns, those are the companions of the fire, therein they abide eternally. God eliminates usury and increases charity, and God loves not every ingrate and sinner. Those who heed warning and do righteous deeds and uphold the duty and render the purity, they have the reward with their Lord, and no fear will be upon them, nor will they grieve. O you who heed warning, be in prudent fear of God, and give up what remains of usury if you be believers. Now here's another passage, chapter 4, verses 160 through 162. So, for injustice among those who hold to Judaism, we made unlawful to them good things which had been lawful to them, and for their turning away from the path of God much, and for their taking of usury when they had been forbidden it, and their consuming the wealth of men in vanity, and we have prepared for the false claimers of guidance among them a painful punishment. But those firm in knowledge and the believers among them believe in what is sent down to thee, and what was sent down before thee, as do the upholders of the duty and the renderers of the purity. And the believers in God and the last day, those will we give a great reward. So, just to recap, the duty here in both of these passages was to desist from usury. And those dealing in usury hide behind technicalities by arguing that commerce is the same as usury. The fact of the matter is that they are not being sincere in their duty to desist from usury. Okay, the next salat is uphold the doctrine of God. And again, we have to be sincere. Chapter 2, verse 177. It is not virtue that you turn your faces towards the east and the west, but virtue is one who believes in God and the last day and the angels and the writ and the prophets, and gives wealth in spite of love of it to relatives and the fatherless and the needy and the wayfarer and those who ask and to many with slaves, and who upholds the duty and renders the purity, and those who keep their covenant when they make a covenant, and the patient in affliction and adversity and during conflict. Those are they who are sincere, and it is they who are those of prudent fear. So again, chapter 2, verse 177, this verse, God is making clear that the virtue is not to turn one's face towards the east and the west, but virtue is to believe in the doctrine of God and do good works. As in, rituals are not virtue, virtue is to believe in the doctrine of God and to do good works. And the mark of an insincere man is that he puts emphasis on outward actions to impress people around him instead of actually upholding the commandments of God, that is their spirit. Thus, in this instance, the duty is to uphold the doctrine of God and to be pure in one's intention to please God alone. Here's another one, chapter 5, verses 54 through 58. All you who heed warning, whoso among you renounces his doctrine, God will bring a people whom he will love and who will love him, humble towards the believers, stern towards the false claimers of guidance, striving in the cause of God and fearing not the reproach of a critic. That is the bounty of God. He gives to whom he wills, and God is encompassing and knowing. Your ally is but God and his messenger, and those who heed warning, those who uphold the duty and render the purity and are lowly. And whoso takes God and his messenger and those who heed warning as ally, the party of God, they will be the victors. O you who heed warning, take not those who take your doctrine in mockery and fun among those given the writ before you and the atheists as allies, and be in prudent fear of God if you be believers. And when you call to the duty, they take it in mockery and fun, for it is that they are people who do not reason. And so the duty in this scenario is to uphold the doctrine of God and not to renounce it. The believers must give purity in the intention of following God's doctrine alone and to not be like those who take God's doctrine in mockery and fun. The next one is upholding the treaty. This is chapter 9, verses 5 through 18. And this is the Surah Tawbah, that basically the whole idea behind this Surah is of fighting the unbelievers, and you know, has certain commandments in there that apply to those who are fighting in God's cause. So, and when the inviolable months have passed, then kill the idolaters wheresoever you find them, and seize them, and restrain them, and lie in wait for them at every place of ambush. But if they repent, and uphold the duty, and render the purity, then let them go their way. God is forgiving and merciful. And if one of the idolaters seeks thy protection, then grant thou him protection until he hears the words of God. Then convey thou him to his place of security. Is it not that they are people who know not? How can there be for the idolaters a covenant with God and with his messenger, save those with whom you made a covenant at the inviolable place of worship? So long as they take a straight path with you, then take a straight path with them. God loves those of prudent fear. How? When if they get the better of you, they observe neither pact of kinship nor obligation to protect. They please you with their mouths, but their hearts refuse, and most of them are perfidious. They have sold the proofs of God at a cheap price and turned away from his path. Evil is what they did. And they regard towards a believer neither pact of kinship nor obligation to protect, and it is they who are the transgressors. But if they repent and uphold the duty and render the purity, then are they your brethren in doctrine, and we set out in detail the proofs for people who know. And if they renege on their oaths after their covenant and revile your doctrine, then fight the leaders of denial. They have no oaths that they might desist. Will you not fight a people who broke their oaths and purposed to turn the messenger out and began again you the first time? Do you fear them? Then God is worthier that you should fear him, if you be believers. Fight them. God will punish them at your hands and disgrace them and help you against them and heal the breasts of people who believe. And remove the wrath of their hearts, and God relents towards whom he wills, and God is knowing and wise. If you think that you will be left when God knows not those among you who have striven and have taken besides God and his messenger and the believers no confidant, and God is aware of what you do. It is not for the idolaters to inhabit the places of worship of God, bearing witness against themselves to denial. Those, their works are vain, and in the fire do they abide eternally. He only inhabits the places of worship of God who believes in God in the last day and upholds the duty and renders the purity, and fears not save God, and it may be that those are of the guided. So the duty in this scenario was to sincerely uphold the treaty and protect the other party, something which the idolaters failed to do. However, if they repented and took up their oaths once again and were sincere in upholding them, the believers were to leave them alone. Next one, serving God alone. And this is grouping chapter 21, if you look at the entire theme of this chapter, it's around serving God alone. So it would make sense that the duty in this case is to serve God alone, and the purity is to be sincere in that intention. This is chapter 21, verse 25. "And we send not before thee any messenger, save we reveal to him that there is no God save I, so serve me." And this is chapter 21, verses 72 and 73. "And we gave him Isaac and Jacob in addition, and each we made righteous. And we made them leaders, guiding by our command, and revealed to them the doing of good deeds, and the upholding of duty, and the rendering of the purity. And us they served." Now this is chapter 21, verses 92 and 93. "This your community is one community, and I am your Lord, so serve me. But they divided their affair between them, all are returning to us." Now those who divided their affair between them, they did not have the purity of intention of serving God alone. And they will get what they will get. The next duty is fight the aggressors. The next salat is to fight the aggressors if they fight you in self-defense. Chapter 4, verse 77. "Hast thou not considered those to whom it was said, restrain your hands and uphold the duty and render the purity? But when fighting is prescribed for them, then a faction among them fears men like the fear of God, or a stronger fear. And they said, Our Lord, why hast thou prescribed fighting for us? Oh, that thou wouldst but delay us a little while. Say thou, little is the enjoyment of this world, and the hereafter is better for him who is in prudent fear, and you will not be wronged a hair upon a date stone." Chapter 22, verses 38 to 41. "God defends those who heed warning. God loves not every treacherous ingrate. Leave is given those who are fought because they were wronged, and God is able to help them. Those who have been turned out of their homes without cause, save that they said, Our Lord is God, and were God not to repel some people by means of others, pious communities would be destroyed, and trade and duties and places of worship wherein the name of God is remembered much. But God will help him who helps him. God is strong and exalted in might. Those who, if we establish them in the land, uphold the duty and render the purity and enjoin what is fitting and forbid perversity, and to God belongs the final outcome of matters." So again, the scenario is to is of fighting when in self-defense, and to fight the aggressors, and to fear God alone, and to be sincere in upholding this duty, and not to fight the enemy half-heartedly, but to stand firm and place our trust in God alone. And the same theme is repeated in the last verse of this chapter, chapter 22. "And strive for God with the striving due him. He has chosen you and has not placed upon you in doctrine any distress, the creed of your father Abraham. He named you those submitting before and in this, that the messenger might be a witness to you, and that you might be witnesses to men. So uphold the duty and render the purity, and hold fast to God. He is your protector. Then excellent is the protector, and excellent is the helper." Again, there is a duty that was touched upon in the last presentation on do your duty, that is glorifying and remembering God. And in this instance, the phrase waqimu salat wa atu zakat, to establish the purity, to uphold the duty, establishes the same thing. And to render the purity, to give the purity. So we should be glorifying and remembering God, but we should be doing it sincerely, okay? Not in a half-hearted way. So here's chapter 24, verses 36. To 38. "In houses God has given leave to be raised, and his name to be remembered therein. There give him glory therein in the mornings and the evenings. Men whom neither trade nor commerce divert from the remembrance of God and upholding the duty and rendering the purity, they fear a day wherein the hearts and the eyes will turn about, that God might reward them for the best of what they did and increase them out of his bounty. And God gives provision to whom he wills without reckoning." Same chapter, chapter 24, verse 56. "And uphold the duty and render the purity and obey the messenger that you might obtain mercy." What's upholding duty in this instance? It's the same, glorifying and remembering God. And chapter 24, verse 58. "O you who heed warning, let ask leave of you those whom your right hands possess and those who have not reached puberty among you at three times, before the duty of the dawn and when you lay aside your garments, at noon and after the duty of the night. three times of nakedness for you. You and they do no wrong beyond them, some of you moving about among others of you. Thus God makes plain to you the proofs, and God is knowing and wise. I remember that chapter 24, verses 36 to 38, we had, there give him glory therein in the mornings and evenings, men whom neither trade nor commerce divert. So here it's saying, before the duty of the dawn, so morning, and after the duty of the night, which is evening. So this is talking about glorifying, remembering God. This is the duty that we are to uphold at specific times of the day. And to give the zakat is to be pure in our intention to remember God and to not let trade nor commerce divert us from the remembrance of God. Because let's be realistic here. When I was doing namaz, I don't know about you or if you have ever done namaz. For the most part, I was thinking about, you know, what my plans were for the future or something like that. You know, what I needed to do. Like all these things would come up right when I was doing salah. So that's not being sincere. Okay, the next one is to do good works. This is chapter 27, verse 1 to 4. Ta-seen, those are the proofs of the Quran and a clear writ as guidance and glad tidings for the believers, those who uphold the duty and render the purity, and of the hereafter they are certain. Those who believe not in the hereafter, we have made their deeds fair to them, so they wander blindly. Here's another one, chapter 31, verses 2 to 5. Alif Lam Mim, those are the proofs of the wise writ as guidance and mercy for the doers of good. Those who uphold the duty and render the purity and of the hereafter are certain. Those are upon guidance from their Lord, and it is they who are the successful. So the duty in both instances is to do good works and to be pure in that intention. And obviously when you look around you, you see the people in power, the politicians or the elites, if you want to call it, the billionaires and trillionaires, the vast majority of whom are idolaters, by the way, because they serve the idols of power and wealth and deny the hereafter, they commit evil deeds under the guise of good works. That is, they are not being pure in their intention. What their intention is to show is to broadcast their, you know, their good works and, you know, make as many people as they can think that they are doers of good, when in reality they are doers of evil. Here's another one, chapter 41, verses 6 through 8. Say thou, I am only a mortal like you. It is revealed to me that your God is one God. So take a straight path to him and ask forgiveness of him. And woe to the idolaters, those who render not the purity, and of the hereafter they are deniers. Those who heed warning and do righteous deeds, they have a reward unending. So the idolaters, they do not render the purity, they are not sincere. And those who heed warning and do righteous deeds, they are sincere and they have a reward unending. Okay, two more salats here that link up with the word zakat, and then we'll be done. Chapter 58, verses 8 through 17. Hast thou not considered those who were forbidden private conversation, then return to what they were forbidden, and converse confidentially in sin and enmity and disobedience to the messenger? And when they come to thee, they greet thee with a greeting wherewith God never greeted thee. And they say within themselves, oh, that God but punished us for what we say. Sufficient for them is Gehenna. They will burn therein, and evil is the journey's end. O you who heed warning, when you converse confidentially, converse not confidentially in sin and enmity and disobedience to the messenger, but converse confidentially in virtue and prudent fear, and be in prudent fear of God, to whom you will be gathered. Private conversation is but of the Satan, that he might grieve those who heed warning, but he will not harm them at all, save by the leave of God, and in God let the believers place their trust. O you who heed warning, when it's said to you, make room in the assemblies, then make room, God will make room for you. And when it is said, arise, then arise, God will raise those who heed warning, and those given knowledge among you in degree, and God is aware of what you do. O you who heed warning, when you converse confidentially with the messenger, send ahead charity before your private conversation. That is better for you and purer. But if you find not the means, God is forgiving and merciful. Fear you to send ahead charity before your private conversation? Then when you do not, and God has turned towards you, then uphold the duty, and render the purity, and obey God and his messenger, and God is aware of what you do. Hast thou not considered those who take as allies a people with whom God is wroth? They are neither of you nor of them, and they swear to lies, and they know. God has prepared for them a severe punishment. Evil is what they did. They took their oaths as a cover and turned away from the path of God, so for them is a humiliating punishment. Their wealth and their children will avail them nothing against God. Those, they are the companions of the fire, therein they abide eternally. Now the narrative as a whole treats of those who converse confidentially in sin and enmity and disobedience to the messenger. The duty then is to converse confidentially in virtue and prudent fear. And we see a reference to those who took their oaths as a cover, that is the hypocrites, who pretended to obey the messenger but plotted against him in secret. The meaning of zakat as being pure in intention slots in perfectly in this case. The believers are to hold to the duty and to be sincere in it. Okay, last instance of uphold the salat and give the zakat is found in chapter 33, verse 30-34. I'm not saying this is the last instance of this phrase in the Quran. Obviously, we already covered the last instance of the phrase in the Quran. I'm saying that, you know, as part of this presentation, this is the last instance. Okay. O wise the Prophet, whoso among you commits manifest sexual immorality, for her the punishment is doubled, and that is easy for God. And whoso among you is humbly obedient to God and his messenger and works righteousness, we will give her her reward twice over, and we have prepared for her noble provision. O wives of the Prophet, you are not like any among women. If you are in prudent fear, then be not soft in speech, lest he in whose heart is disease should desire, but speak a fitting word, and stay within your houses, and display not yourselves with the display of the former time of ignorance, and uphold the duty, and render the purity, and obey God and his messenger. God but intends to remove abomination from you, people of the house, and to purify you completely. And remember what is recited within your houses of the proofs of God and of wisdom. God is subtle and aware. Now here the duty is to be modest and to be sincere in practicing that modesty. And just on a side note, you know, this whole hijab culture that has sprung up, especially in the West, you see a lot of women who are putting makeup on and dressing provocatively, you know, putting tight-fitting clothes on, but they're wearing the hijab. And this is the sort of the insincerity that obviously manifests itself in that instance. And so we are being told that we must, both men and women, need to be modest and to be sincere in their modesty. So, you know, to be sincere in their modesty means to dress modestly and not just, you know, put on a hijab, but you know, still dress as the degenerate moderns do, if you will. Anyway, that concludes my presentation on the salat and the zakat, and that you can see that upholding the duty and in when this occurs with rendering the purity, then the purity is about being sincere in upholding the duty. And that is my understanding of what zakat is. Now, you could make a case that by giving charity, you are increasing yourself in purity in zakat. And I agree with that. But again, you know, the goal here was to look at how the Quran uses this phrase and to look at the context to derive some understanding of it, and not some abstract wishy-washy thing, but something that is plain and clear and practical. So hopefully that was some benefit to you. Again, this presentation will be available on my website, williamrreason.com, in the article section, and the audio will be there and the text will be there too if you would like to read. Or if you wish, you can download the whole book up and look at you know, all the other material in there as well. So God willing, until next time, peace and blessings be upon you.